They never say, God, I appreciate you supplying my food. I appreciate you supplying my housing, my family, all these different needs that we have in life. They were not thankful for the little things. But it says, listen to this, but became vain in their imaginations. What's that mean? They decided that the God of the Bible was not real in their mind, so they just made up a God. They became vain in their imagination. They just imagined. And that's what we see in the world today. People just coming up with all kinds of belief. Someone was telling me this week about this person called themselves Christian, but said that Jesus was a sinner. Jesus sinned. So that's just there's millions of different beliefs out there. People just come up with all kinds of stuff just to justify the way they live their life. Just to try to make themselves feel better that, hey, I'm okay. Everything I'm doing is okay. They've convinced themselves of that instead of comparing their lives to the Scriptures and seeing what the Scriptures have to say about God. And then on that next verse there, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, how many times have you seen this? I can think of individuals that I've even come in contact with in the last few weeks outside this church. And they don't no more care about God. They don't follow God. They don't come to church. They don't do any of that kind of stuff. But in their heart, they think they're right. They think they've got it all together. They think they're wise. But the Bible says, no, when you're in that position, that situation, you're actually a fool. You want to be have wisdom of this world, you're a fool. You want to have true wisdom, come seek the Lord. Come seek what he has. So what does a dark heart look like? You know, when you think about Saul and where he was and how messed up, think about how messed up Saul was in his mind. And he had no relief. He had lived such a lifestyle of sin. And I always tell the young people, think, you know, learn. Don't go through the school of hard knocks yourself. Learn from other people's life. Learn from other people's mistakes. Watch other people. Watch people 5, 10, 20 years ahead of you. And look at the life that they've lived. And I could sit here and I could think about people that went, you know, teenagers that were with me coming through youth group and going to church. And I can look at their life now and the direction. They chose one path. I chose a different path. And I'll say, what happened? You know, where did they go? Well, they chose a lifestyle of sin. And that sin gets embedded in their heart. And it truly messes up your mind. It messes up the way you think. You can't think clearly. You can't make good decisions. You can't. It's so hard. If any of you that know Romans chapter 1, the path that takes you down, when a person decides, I don't need God, and they start to form their own version of God and go their own path, that path gets harder. It gets darker and darker and darker. And you can read about the things that it gets involved with, as homosexuality and all that kind of stuff. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And do you know what? When a person gets to that point, their heart gets so hard. Do you know it's almost impossible for them to turn and come back to God? Right. It's almost impossible. That is why you could sit here and say, well, that will never be me. I have a tender heart towards God. But I'm telling you, Saul would have thought the same thing. That is why it's so important for us each and every day to guard our hearts, to keep our hearts, to think about, analyze, to think about what we're thinking about. You say, well, what is your heart? I don't exactly know. We'll have to ask Brother Tommy. What is your heart? It's not your physical don't heart. It's a spiritual thing. It has something to do with your mind. Okay? It's what the things you're focused on day in and day out, the things that you desire for day in and day out. Do you wake up? Are you focused on God? Do you think about God very often throughout the day? Or can you go days and weeks and months without really thinking about God and spending time with God, getting alone with God? That shows where your heart is. When you have a heart for God, that means you long after him. When you're in love with someone, you want to be with that person. You think about that person all the time. And you have a heart for them. But what does a dark heart look like? You can look at the scriptures. You can look at the works of the flesh in Galatians. It says, for out of the heart, in Matthew 15, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. It's just evil thought after evil thought. It becomes a snowball effect. It just builds and builds and builds to where it just gets out of control and you have no control over it anymore. But that is why it's so important that we maintain a place with God where we are consistently going before the Lord and saying, God, where's my heart? What am I thinking about these days? What are the attitudes in my heart? Lord, show me the wrong attitudes that are going on in my heart. So let me ask you this question. How important is a pure heart? How important is a pure heart? How much do you think the fact that your heart or my heart, not longing for God, not being about the things what God wants them to be about, how important do you think that is? And we hear this all the time. Well, my decisions and the way I live my life only affects me. Well, it does affect you. But we know as well as everybody, it affects lots of people. It affects all the people that we come in contact with throughout our day, throughout our week, in different ways. It affects our children. If we do not analyze our heart consistently and seek to have a pure heart, those attitudes are going to come out, and they are going to be passed down to our children and their children. And you say, well, where do you get this? Look, you don't need to turn, but Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You say, well, what's that mean? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That means the issues of life. That means it determines your course of life. It determines your course. Your heart, whether it's pure and for God, will determine the course and the direction of your life. Now, is that important? To me, that's important. To me, that means every single day I need to be analyzing my heart. What are the thoughts I'm thinking? And ponder on those things. And what's the benefit of a pure heart? Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, we don't need to just be doing the Christian life and coming to church and thinking, you know, this is, you know, coming to church is important. But if you think this is what Christianity is about, you got it backwards, okay? It's about your heart. It's about the attitude of your heart, what's going on in the inside. And it says, with a pure heart, you shall see God. What's that mean? You're going to physically see him? Well, yeah, one day in heaven. But it means you're going to understand God. You're going to understand who he is. You're going to understand who you are in compared to him and your relationship with him. You're going to understand the mysteries of life, the mysteries of the scripture. As you begin to get, like I said a while ago, sin, a lifestyle of sin messes our thinking up, messes our mind up, and we can't think clearly. But when we seek to live a pure life and we keep those sins confessed before the Lord, and we live our life that way, he will begin to open up the mysteries of the Word of God to our life. The Bible will come alive. So what is the benefit of a pure heart? You'll be able to see God. You'll be able to understand what life is really about. Your desires and your focus of life will come off of money and wealth and riches and fame and authority and all that kind of stuff, all the things that the world think is important. And you'll begin to focus on what's really important in life as far as people, loving God, having a relationship with God, the two greatest commandments, loving God and loving people. There, I promise you, with the heart of God, there's nothing more important than you and I loving him and loving people, trying to help people get saved, trying to help people in their walk with the Lord. What we do every week here, We try to edify the saints. We try to build each other up in the Lord in our relationship with God, and we try to see people saved. There's nothing more important at the heart of God than those things right there. But here, how do we obtain this? How do we obtain this pure heart? This is something practical, I think. As I've been thinking about this the last few weeks, and just thinking about the mess that our world is in. You think about all the stuff going on in the news and everything, and you think about all the weather. I mean, it was like a couple weeks ago. I came in on Wednesday night, and I mean, all these hurricanes and all this junk going on, and it's kind of like, what's going on, God? You know, what's happening here? And I just kept hearing over and over, you just stay focused on me. You just walk with me. You just keep your heart pure, and keep seeking me through the Word, and everything's gonna be okay. So I kind of come up with these things. How do we obtain a pure heart? Number one, consistently ask God to reveal the sin in our heart. Consistently go before. There needs to be a time every day we go before God and we're spending time with God. And we need to have this time where we go before Him and we just be still. That's what He says. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Just go before Him and be still and listen to Him and analyze ourselves. Self-analyze. Say, God, what is going on? You know, what's going on in my heart? Am I thinking straight? You know, are the things that I'm desiring for, are those the things that you want me to desire for? Now listen to a couple of scriptures here. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart, these are a couple of things you need to remember about your heart. The heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? So that right there tells you, your heart, my heart, we have a bent towards wickedness. We don't have to continually, you know, try to keep our heart wicked. It's already bent that way. We have to continually try to keep our heart pure in the Lord. So he says, "Who and desperately wicked, who can know it?" I promise you, you can't know it, and I can't know it. There's only one that knows it, and that's God. That's why we have to constantly go before God and say, God, reveal to me the impurities in my heart, the attitudes. It may be an attitude towards someone at church or at work or whatever it may be. You go before Him and you ask Him and you listen. You let Him bring those things to your mind. And Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You see, that right there tells us that your heart and my heart, we already think we're okay. We think it's everybody else has got the problem, right? When we get in a conflict with somebody, we automatically, they did this, they said that, and they're the ones that needs to apologize and this, that, and the other. We already have convinced ourselves that we're right in our own eyes. But it says the Lord pondereth, means He weighs and measures the heart. He weighs and measures your heart and my heart. That's why we have to go to Him and say, God, show me. Reveal the condition of my heart. In Psalms 51:10, I'll ask y'all if y'all turn to Psalms 51. We'll look at a couple scriptures there. They may have it up there. Psalms 51:10. Says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit. Now that spirit, that's a little S, okay? It's not a big S, so it's not talking about the Holy Spirit, not talking about God, not talking about deity. It's a little S, so it's talking about an attitude, okay? A spirit can be an attitude as well. So he says, this is David here when he had committed sin with Bathsheba, and he was getting right, and he was repenting to God. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. See, his heart had gotten messed up. His heart got messed up with sin. And he says, renew a right attitude within me. He wanted to have that pure heart again. He knew how important that pure heart was, and he knew he needed to seek God and let God reveal to him the impurities in his heart. Secondly, we need to confess our sin constantly and instantly. You know, there's that time when we go to God and we ask Him to reveal and we self-analyze, but as soon as He brings it to our mind, we need to confess. We need to forsake it. We need to repent. We need to turn away from it, you know. When God shows you something in your heart and say, you've had a wrong attitude about this person, you need to say, God, forgive me. Help me to love that person. You know, help me the next time I'm around that person to treat them with love and respect in the way that you would want me to treat them. And so we have these scriptures. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And that kind of goes hand in hand. You say, if you want to have a pure heart, you want to cleanse your hands, so to speak, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I like how he added in there the double-minded. You cannot be focused on anything other than God. Your heart has got to be totally committed to God and who He is, and honoring Him and worshiping Him and seeking His calling upon your life and seeking His purpose for your life. You have to be all in with God for this to work. You have to be all in. You can't be focused over here and be focused over here at the same time. And God says you can't worship God and mammon and money at the same time. You've got to let Him handle all those things in your life. You have to be all in with Him and focused on Him with your whole heart. And that is the only way you can, when you come to Him for confession, when you come to Him to repent, don't just repent of it. Don't just say, "God, please forgive me." But then you battle with Him. If you know you struggle with something, team up with God and say, "God, help me. Help me not to give in to this sin again. You know, help me next time that the temptation comes, that, you know, build yourself up in the Lord. Be ready. Put your spiritual battle armor on and be ready." So take that time to team up with God instead of trying to live this life on our own. And during this, you have to remember, hey, God's for you. God's for you. He's not against you. You know, you're not the first child of God that sinned. Okay, so He doesn't kick you out of His family every time you mess up. Okay, I do know this, and I know from Isabella, I've gotten a taste of how much God really loves me, because I can see and taste and feel the love that I have for Isabella as a daughter. And God has showed me how much he really loves me, even though that's just a percentage of how He loves me. And when we go to God, and when we think about God, and we think about our position and how He relates to us, we need to see ourselves as a little child. I was looking back at the children that we have in here tonight and how almost naive they are. You tell them, hey, God created this, and they believe you. You know, it's just as simple as that. And Jesus says, if you want to come to me with that childlike faith. And it doesn't matter how old you get or how old I get. We need to have that innocent, childlike faith that we come to God in. And we just say, you know what? God's good, and God's big, and He's great. And I just believe it. That's who He is. And guess what? He loves me. And I just believe that. And I just live in that, and I walk in that, and I enjoy that. And so, you know, don't think that when you sin that God just casts you out into the sea. You know, that's not what He does to His children. Okay, there are many benefits and blessings to being obedient children. Okay, but I promise you, I look at Isabella, and when she makes wrong choices, you know, and I can already see how I'm going to have to get tough with her. Okay, you know, she's telling me no and this, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so I already see, I've been asking Sarah, getting advice. So, okay, you got to coach me up. I don't know what to do here, you know. So, but I can already see the direct, you know, she's going to test me. And she's, and I'm not getting as many hugs and kisses like I used to get, okay. So now when I say, come kiss daddy, she'll say no, and she'll run off. Or this is the thing, she's been covering up her mouth. She'll kiss me. She'll actually come up and kiss me like this. And so I can already see those little changes, and I can, you know, I've been thinking about the way we change with God, how our heart changes with God, and, you know, starting off that child, man, they just run to mom or dad, and they just put their arms around them, they'll just sit there and hug them, you know, and I say, you know, that's how we should be with God, to where we'll just be with Him, we'll just love Him, we'll just spend time with Him. But what happens? Our heart is deceitfully wicked, and we begin to pull away. We begin to get focused on other things, get focused on ourselves and just distractions of life, and we don't have that heart for God anymore. We don't want to run to Him. We don't want to spend time with Him. You know, some maybe even the thought of spending time sitting down and praying during their day, you may say, "Oh, man, I just don't have time." Well, your heart, where's your heart at? Your heart is wavering. Because if you truly love God, you're going to want to spend time with Him. You're going to make time for Him. And so part of that time that you spend with Him is the time that you self-analyze and you confess those sins. I'm going to read you a story real quick. And I almost thought I wouldn't read this because this thing's going around social media. And I know some of you social media professionals, you've probably already read this. But I'm going to read it anyways because it definitely is a good illustration of how we should live our lives, especially in and amongst the church. So it's a story about a lady went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, I won't be going to your church anymore." The pastor responded, "But why?" The lady said, "Well, I saw a woman gossiping about another member, a man that is a hypocrite, a choir members living wrong, people looking at their phones during service." Some of y'all right there. "Among so many other things that are wrong in our church." Okay. The pastor replied, "But okay, but before you go, do me a favor, take a full glass of water and walk around the church 3 times without spilling a drop on the ground. Afterwards, leave the church if you desire." The lady thought, "Well, this is too easy." She walked 3 times around the church as the pastor asked. When she finished, she told the pastor she was ready to leave. The pastor said, "Before you leave, I want to ask you one more question. When you were walking around the church, did you see anyone gossip?" The lady replied, "No." "Did you see any hypocrites?" The lady replied, "No." "Anyone looking at their phone?" "No." He said, "You know why?" She said, "No." He said, "You were focused on the glass to make sure you didn't stumble and spill any water of your own." It's the same with our lives. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't have time to see the mistakes of others. We will reach out a helping hand to them and concentrate on our own walk with the Lord. And that's so true. And I've seen this in my own life. When I let bitterness or I let thoughts, I start getting my focus on people in the church, and I'll say, "Well, this person needs to do that. That person needs to stop doing that and this." You know what's wrong? I'm what's wrong. You know, we have had people leave this church because of them pointing out other people and how they're doing this and how they're doing that. Do you know what was wrong in that situation? It was that person. If we will all just focus on our walk with God and let God handle everybody else and get our eyes off how everybody else is living their life and doing this and doing that, and even within the church, okay? And I just focus on me and me keeping my heart pure and in a good place and me staying focused on how God wants me to live and how God wants me to raise my family, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to be a better church member. I'm going to be more pleasant to be around. And I'm going to be a brighter light in this church and help this church function more the way that God wants this church to function. We have to keep our eyes only on the Lord. And you say, well, you focus on yourself, but you're focused on the Lord, and you let Him reveal the things in your heart that He needs to reveal. And then thirdly there, it says maintain a broken spirit. So how do we obtain a pure heart? We consistently self-analyze. We confess those things, those sins that God brings to our mind. And then we maintain a broken spirit. And you say, well, what do you mean about that? God, you know, I don't believe God wants us to walk around just like the world's on our shoulders and everything's so heavy. It's total opposite of that. He wants us to have love and joy in our hearts and have a bright light upon us. But there needs to be an attitude of humility and a need for God, a recognition that, you know what, my heart is deceitfully wicked, and I have to pay attention, and I can go the wrong way instantaneously, and I constantly have a need for God to do and work in my heart and to lead and guide me in my heart. And that is what the broken spirit is. Psalms 51:17 there in the same chapter, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." Now think about that. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. What he's saying is, God, the sacrifice that God desires is a broken spirit, is a broken attitude of, you know, I don't have it all together. It's the opposite of pride and just living your life for the things you desire and how you want to live your life. But you've come to that place where you recognize, I need God for everything. I need God more than I need oxygen. I need God more than I need water. And you get to that point to where you recognize, I can't function as a husband. I can't function as a deacon. I can't function as an usher. I can't function as a Sunday school teacher. I can't function at my job. I can't function properly in this world without God, period. And you live your life like that every day. What that means is you're going to wake up and you're going to live that out, and you're going to say, you're going to go to God. Instead of starting your day and doing whatever, you're going to go to God and say, God, I love you. I need you. I need you to guide me today. You give him opportunity to speak to your heart, and you listen to him, and you do that on a regular basis. Why? Because you need him, and you're not just saying you need him. You're showing him you need him, and you're living your life in a way that shows that you need him. And the rest of that verse says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So see, that's what God's looking for. God is looking for a humble person that admits, I need God. That's who he's looking for. When you get to that point to where you say, I need God every day, every second of the day, that's when he shows up. That's when you've given him permission almost to be able to work in your life and to be able to do something with you. Because the last part of that verse, he says, thou will not despise. That means God will not reject. God will not reject that type of heart attitude. And then lastly, I would say, walk in God's love for you and enjoy the abundant life. I don't believe you can enjoy the abundant life, which is what Christ came to give. He says in John 10:10, he says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and destroy. If you've got if your life is horrible and you're not experiencing love, joy, and peace and all that, you have allowed the thief to come in. And he is stealing and killing and destroying. The only way that you can work that out is between you and God. It's not going to happen between you and other people. Okay, that's something that's got to... There's always going to be difficult people in your life. There's always going to be difficult circumstances in your life. Your life will not be perfect when those things change. Okay? You have to learn between you and God to work those things out. It says, but Jesus says, but I am come that they might have life. Not that you just have a meager existence of life. But he says that you might have life more abundantly. You say, what is that? It's a life of love. It's a life that I can love that person who doesn't love me. I can live my life in a way that person who is giving me problems or whatnot, or the circumstance that is giving me problems, I can live above those things. And I can keep my eyes focused on the Lord Jesus, and He can give me that hope that I need in my life. The hope that, you know what, you look around, you say, man, things are bad, but yeah, things are going to be real good, okay? Things are going to be good, and they're going to be real good eventually one day, but they can be good now. We can have that abundant life now, but I do believe it takes self-analyzation. It takes us getting our eyes off of people, getting our eyes off of what's going on in the world, and getting it on us and God. How important is it? How important is it to have a pure heart? It determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. Saul had the same opportunity, choices that we had. David had the same opportunity, choices we had. Solomon had the same opportunity, choices that we had. They all three kind of ended bad. But we don't have to. We don't have to end bad. I believe in this day and age, this time of life, as Jesus is getting closer and closer to coming back, we need to focus more on our hearts in him, being aligned with God, and staying separated from the wickedness and the sin of this world. Because the church and the world's getting mashed together. And when I say stay separated from the world, I'm talking about the sin of the world. And God works through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to reveal what is sin. And we need to get in tune with that. We need to listen to that on a regular basis. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for what you put on my heart. Lord, I hope it was a blessing to someone tonight. Lord, I do believe more than anything, this is one of the most important things in the Christian life, Father, that we live on a daily basis, opening our hearts up to you, Father, and letting you reveal those secret sins, those secret attitudes of our heart, Lord, that we'll confess those and we'll keep those out of our life, Father. And Lord, effort I do, I know it's important. I know how I live my life is important. I know it affects me, it affects my family, it affects my children, it affects the people around me, it affects the youth group, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would each and every member, Father, here tonight, be focused on our hearts and in the way that we should live our lives, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. Appreciate that message, Brother Chad. It was a good message on the heart. I hope that you are hearing and truly hearing. And I hope that you're doing some searching in your soul right now. Musicians can begin to play. If you need to come and do business.